Good afternoon. The time is 2 o'clock. Welcome to Vox Pop for this Thursday, January 31st. I'm Ray Graff. Planning a trip for school vacation in February or spring break in the coming months? If so, turn up the old radio and have your phone handy, because in the studio today with her travel tips and suggestions is Jean Gagnon. She is the president of Plaza Travel Center in Latham, New York. If you have a travel question, maybe you're thinking about going someplace warm right about now. The number is 800-348-2551, 800-348-2551, or you may email us at voxpop@wamc.org. Jean Gagnon is here. Passports, roadmaps, your calls coming up on Vox Pop right after the news. Hello again. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Ray Graff. If the thermometer outside isn't already making you dream of a getaway, this show certainly should. We are joined today by Jean Gagnon, president of Plaza Travel Center in Latham, New York, a 44-year veteran of the travel industry. Jean managed the retail division of Plaza Travel and Meetings for 25 years before buying the firm in 2015. The Institute of Certified Travel Agents awarded her the designation of Certified Travel Counselor in 1985. She was an adjunct instructor of travel and tourism at University College of Syracuse University and Schenectady County Community College. At Plaza Travel, Jean specializes in VIP travel, custom planning, international itineraries, and group travel. The number to call if you have a travel question, 800-348-2551. 800-348-2551, or you can email us at voxpop@wamc.org. Jean Gagnon, welcome back.
Welcome to, thank you, Ray. Happy to be back.
Welcome to winter. And yes. All I've been thinking about is summer and warm. You know, have you ever been to Bermuda?
Oh, yes.
The sort of nice English vibe and the turquoise blue
Bermuda
water.
Bermuda is one of the cleanest, prettiest islands that you can go to.
It's so great. Although I don't think the weather would be that fabulous right now.
Not this time of year. This time of year would be okay for golf.
Right.
And you could bike along the bicycle track that they made out of the old railroad. So it would be good for that, but no ocean swimming.
Absolutely. But, you know, a lot of people are thinking about this kind of travel and getting away from this terrible weather, although it'll be in the 50s. Probably by next week.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that.
What's been new with you?
Well, we've just been very, very busy. This time of year is our busiest. We're planning a lot of send me to someplace warm kind of vacations.
Yeah.
And also planning a lot of European travel for the upcoming summer months.
So this is the time to begin planning the European
Absolutely.
Trip.
The earlier you book, the more money you will save.
Huh.
It's a fallacy that you can wait until the last minute and get a great deal. It's just not true.
Our guest today is Jean Gagnon. It's Travel Today on the show. The number is 800-348-2551. Christine got ahead of the game. She emailed us an hour ago and said, I believe you've had Jean on before. She's fabulous. All right. That's a good start. Christine in Watervliet wants to know any thoughts you might have on travel in February, March for a week or less on a budget to someplace warm.
Someplace warm, yes. On a budget, and you're booking it almost at the beginning of February.
Right.
those things almost don't go together, but I do have some tips.
Okay.
So first of all, if you would have wanted to go like a Saturday to a Sunday, Sunday to Sunday, and you're finding that the rates are very high for that because that's when most other people go.
Yeah.
Check on a Monday to a Friday.
That's an idea.
And you'll save a little bit of money because you're cutting it short. Leave real, real early on that Monday morning. Come back as late as possible on that Friday, and you'll almost have 4 full days. So some of the places that are perennially less expensive than other places are Mexico, the Cancun area, not necessarily Cancun, but the Riviera Maya, the Bahamas, even though maybe not super, super hot, and Jamaica. Those three places usually have the best airfares. The airfares are going to be higher than normal because it is high season.
Yeah.
When it's cold here, it's hot there, it's high season. But checking that, Monday to Friday might help bring that cost down.
All right. Well, let's get to the phones right away and take a few before our first break. 800-348-2551 is the number. Let's go to Jody in Goshen. Jody, you're on.
Thank you. My question was, I'm going to Dublin the end of March, And I was wondering if what I must see in Dublin.
Oh, you're
and
going.
I had a question about a Dublin Pass, if you're familiar with it.
Yes, I am. I am familiar with it. The Dublin Pass comes in various lengths. So you want to go online and look at...
What is it?
It's a pass that allows you to, first of all, you can get a pass that just has admissions, or you can get one that includes transportation as well. And it comes in various lengths.
To everything?
1 day, 2 day, 3 days, to most of the major attractions.
Okay.
Okay. So there's also a great hop-on, hop-off pass that you can just use to get around Dublin and see all the great things that you're going to want to see. So some of the things that you're definitely going to want to see are the Guinness Storehouse. That is the original Guinness factory. And I have to tell you, being not a huge beer fan, particularly not Guinness, when I had a Guinness in the place of origin, huge difference. It's fantastic.
Okay.
And it's a very, very interesting museum as well.
That's what I heard.
Yes, it's wonderful. You want to see that. You want to see the Book of Kells, which is a illuminated, meaning they call them illuminations,
yeah.
The little drawings in the books that the monks did. The Book of Kells, which is located at Trinity College. That's definitely a must-see. You want to walk around the Temple Bar area in Dublin. It's mainly a pedestrian area, a lot of restaurants and bars, but I'm going to give you the best piece of advice you will have. If you're going to be in that area on a Friday or Saturday night, make dinner reservations.
Oh.
It's very, very popular. You'll stand in line for an hour to get into your favorite bar if you don't. Also, if you have some extra time while you're in Dublin, take a day trip maybe down to County Wicklow, some of the surrounding areas. They're really beautiful, but you're going to love Dublin. It's a great city.
Okay. We were going to go to Hoth.
Hoth. I'm not
familiar with that.
No, where's that?
It's about a half-hour bus ride from Dublin. It's a coastal fishing town.
Oh, that sounds lovely. There are a lot of very, very nice small towns along the coast. You'll really enjoy it.
Thank you.
Thank you,
Thanks
Jody.
For the call. Let's go on over to Mike. Mike in Saratoga Springs, you're on.
Oh, good afternoon. Well, we took a trip to Europe last summer, and, it's expensive. During that time we came back, we went to Portugal, actually Morocco, so Africa. But now this year, I reconnected with some long-lost cousins that are in France, and I'd love to go. They really want us to come out and visit them in France, but I wanted a recommendation how we can – what's the best way to get cheap tickets in the summer season on airfare?
So you're a little too late for this part of it, but I'm going to tell you about it anyway and for the benefit of the other listeners. The cheapest way to get tickets for the summer season is to book 10 months ahead of when you want to go.
Okay? Why 10 months?
Because that's when the airlines open their reservation systems. They're open 330 days prior to travel.
Now, okay, hang on, Mike. You'll get your chance to follow up here. Why 10 months? Why not a year? What's the point?
You know, that I don't really know. And I've been on airline computers since about 1974. And,
you and Al Gore were the only ones with the internet back then.
Right.
Good for
you.
Yeah,
I invented it.
Yeah.
So it's always been 330 days prior.
That's weird.
Yeah. Well, I know it can't be more than 330 days because when they originally did it, there were only six characters in the date.
Ah.
So if you put in 15JUN, it had to be the 15th of June of this year.
All right, that's a plausible explanation.
So that could be part of it.
All right, now I'm sorry. I took us on a tangent. Now go ahead.
Okay, so Mike. So normally you want to try to book 10 months ahead of time. So you've missed that opportunity. But the other thing is to check a variety of departure points. It's not going to be cheapest from Albany, but check Stewart, check Newark, Kennedy, Boston, and don't rule out Montreal. Okay.
All
sometimes
right.
I've gotten some real great fares on nonstops out of Montreal. The only thing is, if you decide to fly out of Montreal, you have to promise me you're going to get up there real early in the morning, because if for some reason there's a problem at the border, you don't want to miss your flight. So get up to Montreal real early.
Or go the day before.
Or the day before. Maybe spend the day in Old Montreal, sort of kick off your trip to France. Sometimes Montreal can be lower. And if you're looking today and the fare is high, which in the summer to high is 12 to 14, I have to tell you, in the summer, if you can get it under $1,000, you're doing very, very well. Okay. Also, check not only online, but call a full-service professional agent, because they'll look up other things for you as well. There's a possibility that you can buy a package that actually includes a throwaway hotel.
Like what
a
do you mean?
Okay. So, for example, I had somebody who wanted to go to Athens. They wanted to take the nonstop flights on United. And no matter how I looked, Newark to Athens nonstop, the fare was approximately $1,600 round trip in the middle of the summer. Well, I was able to get a vacation package that included three nights in Athens that came out to $1,400 per person. So even if they didn't even use the hotel, it was still cheaper than if they bought the airfare directly. Also, check Norwegian Airlines. They're a new low-cost airline, although there are pros and cons to using them. If you're flexible and you don't mind paying additional for seats and meals and water and a blanket and all that
seats?
Stuff.
Seats? They make you pay for seats extra?
They make you pay for
seat assignments. What, do you have to stand otherwise?
Seat assignments.
Oh, I see.
Seat
assignments.
And the meal and all that stuff they make you pay for. But it might be a real good low-cost budget option for you.
All right, Mike, thank you very much for the call. We'll take a quick break here. Gene Gagnon is our guest. Gene is president of Plaza Travel in Latham, and we'll be right back. Fox Pop on WAMC. Ray Graff with you at 800-348-2551. Gene Gagnon is our guest. Gene is president of Plaza Travel Center in Latham, New York. The email address here is voxpop@wamc.org. And Gene, two emails and then back to the phones. This one's from Katie. Subject heading, interesting one. Travel for fragile elderly. Can you recommend any travel service or business site or place for elderly parents, one who is recently on oxygen and risk of falling, that could walk short distances carefully, but always a fall or a trip risk, fully with it, intelligent, well-traveled, but a little fragile?
Okay. I think, Katie, for something like that, first of all, you don't want them to have to travel too far. And a great option might be a bus tour. Okay, there are a lot of tour companies in the area that are actually local, where you can actually get on the bus in Albany and then travel somewhere. And especially you'd want to select one that didn't say that there was a lot of walking. Like, for example, you wouldn't want to go on a bus trip to Washington, D.C., because once you get there, there's going to be a lot of walking. So you'd have to read through the itinerary very carefully. But as long as it was mainly motor coach, even sometimes once it gets to the city, it does a orientation tour by motor coach. So there's not a lot of on and off buses. Also, a lot of these buses, if the person who is fragile has a walker or a wheelchair, they actually have lifts. So that's possible to do. You know, and flying isn't bad for somebody who's fragile if they do want to fly, because the person who's helping them can go with them right down to the gate. The airlines are very, very good about helping people in wheelchairs or with walkers and things like that. I would just make sure that you picked a destination that didn't really require a lot of walking, and that you did either the hop-on, hop-off bus, and you don't have to hop off, you just stay on.
Yeah, okay. This one's from Alice, and the subject heading, last-minute travel. Alice writes, my husband and I have an unexpected opening in our schedule in a couple of weeks. Is there any way to grab a quick getaway last minute?
Yes, there is, as long as you avoid the February school break and the April break. I had somebody come in the other day and they wanted to do exactly what you're talking about. They wanted to leave in the early part of February, and last minute I was able to get them a great deal, and I sent them to Miami. And it's really funny, a lot of people have relatives in Florida, or they've been to Orlando or wherever, but they don't think of Miami as a destination, and it's a fabulous fabulous destination. It's a major, major city, and I'm not just talking about Miami Beach. I'm talking about the city of Miami itself, which is on the land, and Miami Beach is on a strip of water. So in Miami itself, you not only have world-class museums, a great aquarium, a whole harbor front, but it's also right next to Little Havana, which you feel like you've gone to the Caribbean for a day.
Yeah.
You go there, you have some espresso, eat some Cuban food, fabulous destination.
That's a great idea.
Highly recommend it for a quick getaway.
And you're only a couple few hour drive from Key West if you wanted to head out that way.
We rented a car and drove down to Key Biscayne for the day.
Yeah.
Beautiful state park, had a great time. So, yes, you can still do it as long as you're avoiding the February school break week.
When my wife and I were on our honeymoon, we were in Palm Beach, and at one point we said, you know what, let's just drive to Key West. It's got to be close. Oh, God, it was hours and hours and hours. Finally made it. It was worth it. All right, let's go back to the phones, 800-348-2551. Mark in Albany. Mark, you're on.
Good afternoon. How are you?
Good. Nice to have you here.
So my brother recently got engaged, and he and his fiance are leaning towards a destination wedding.
Okay.
And I am a student, so I don't have a ton of disposable income. And I would prefer not to put the cost of the trip on my credit card. Do you know of any methods or services where you can book a trip relatively far out and pay for it in installments?
Yes, absolutely. Most full-service travel agencies will do that for you. Okay. The only difficulty of it, let me give you an example. Let's say you were going to Jamaica next September. Okay. You would have to put, let's say, a $200 deposit down on the trip. You would have to buy your airline tickets in full. But the balance of the itinerary, you could actually be sending in a certain amount every month, as long as it was paid in full by about 45 days ahead of time. So it's absolutely possible. It's just that online companies can't do it, obviously, for the reason that they can only take a credit card because you're booking it online. So you're going to have to find a brick and mortar that does take check or cash payments, and that would help set that up for you. Does that answer your question?
Thank you so much.
Okay.
Thanks, Mark. Our number here on Vox Pop is 800-348-2551. Gene Gagnon is our guest. Travel is the topic. 800-348-2551. Bess in Gilderland. Bess.
Yes, good afternoon.
Hi.
I have a question about the single supplement that is often charged on the price of a trip when you book through an agency, not a travel agency, but a tour provider.
Right.
And very often it's very high compared to a good chunk of the total cost of a trip. I don't know if it's avoidable or if the industry itself is trying to minimize the use of the single supplement, but sometimes it's a big problem for me to book as a single woman.
I can totally understand that, and it's a great question because it gives me an opportunity to explain something that a lot of people don't understand and that a lot of people get very upset about it. They almost feel like being a single person, they're being penalized. So let me kind of explain it to you this way. Let's say I want to put together a trip for a bunch of people to go to Boston, and the cost of the hotel room is $100 a night. Now, that hotel doesn't care if there's one person in the room or two people in the room. They just want $100 a night. So if you are going by yourself, I have to add in, for that single person, $100. However, if you and I are going together, I add in $50 per person. So that's basically what the single supplement is. It's the additional cost because you are not sharing, okay? Now, that being said, there are some cruises, for example, they want a certain amount for that cabin. So it's a seven-night cruise. Let's say they want $5,000 for that cabin. They don't care if there's one person in it or if there's two people in it. So if there are two people in it, they're going to pay $2,500 each. However, If there's one person in it,
yeah,
they're going to pay $5,000. So that's why single supplements are there. It's not because you're being penalized. It's because you're not being given the opportunity to share with someone. Now, that being said, there are opportunities for single people to avoid the single supplement. Sometimes different tour companies will have specials where they'll say we're waiving the single supplement on these trips, or they'll actually room you with someone. Like if you say I want a room with another female of this age bracket, they'll actually try to help set that up. And I know many times on tours that we have, we keep a running list of people that might want to share with someone.
Yeah.
And then rather than just automatically put them together, we'll give them each other's phone numbers and email addresses. They can meet, see if they want to share a room, and they can save the single supplement that way. Does that help?
It helps. I kind of figured that that's had some of it, some of the reason. But does a single supplement fee apply only to room and board or just room, or is it across the board for other services that a 7-day, not necessarily cruise, but trip to Italy or something,
right,
or a river cruise or something? Does it include everything that gets a little extra tagged on? I'm not feeling like
no,
a victim, but I'm just feeling
not,
that
$600
is a big chunk of my travel money to
yeah.
No,
extra.
I agree. Normally, okay, with the cruise lines, when they are charging 200% of the regular fare because of a single supplement, then yes, you're paying more for your food, you're paying more for everything.
Yeah.
But normally, most tours, the single supplement is, you know, $600-$700, depends upon how long the tour is. When that's the case, when the tour is $5,000 and your single supplement is $900, that's because you're not sharing the room. You're not paying more for the other things, just the room.
Okay. All right. So just have to save an extra $1,000.
Save those pennies, Bess.
Thanks, Bess. 800-348-2551 is our telephone number. Gene Gagnon is our guest today, and Rick is in Hudson. Rick, you're on.
Oh, good afternoon. I'm half British. My mother was an American war bride, and I've been to England 4 times in my lifetime, and I'm now retired. When my mother used to go over every year, she used to get what was called an open-ended round fare ticket. And I'm being told that those don't exist anymore. Do you have any suggestions on that?
Yeah, well, actually, they don't exist anymore. So you're better
Why?
Bet. Why? Because the airlines, oh, this could be a long thing.
All right. Again, I'm going to send you on a tangent, but just
okay,
I need
okay.
to know.
All right. When airlines first started deciding to offer excursion fares, okay, it
mm-hmm.
used to be, for example, if somebody wanted to fly from Albany to Washington.
Right.
If you divided the cost of the plane by the amount of people on the plane plus a little bit for profit, maybe it would be $300 per person.
Okay.
Okay. So the airlines tried doing that. They said, we're just going to charge everyone $300 per person. Well, if I had myself and my husband and my 3 kids and we were going to Washington, there's no way we would have paid $300 per person.
Right.
So they came up with a family plan. Then they came up with what they called super savers. So they said, we're going to offer you a fare for only $125 round trip, but it's going to have rules because we don't want the businessman to pay that because he has to fly down. He's going
yep.
down in the morning, back in the afternoon.
Yep.
So we're going to charge more. We're going to charge him more. We're going to charge him $500 round trip, but we're going to charge you $125 round trip
Got
to
it.
Try to get you to fly instead of driving.
Yeah.
Well, how are you going to make sure that that businessman isn't using that fare? Well, you're going to limit availability and you're going to say it has to be round trip. And you have to stay over a Saturday night.
Gotcha.
That was for a very long time, any decent excursion fare, and still today, some excursion fares require you to stay over a Saturday night because they don't want the businessman or woman paying that fare. They want the leisure person paying that fare.
Okay.
So that's the other reason why you have to make it round trip, because if there was a really cheap fare that was one way, you could buy it one way and then do something else on the return, and they want you on that plane.
All right, Rick, I'll let you get back to it, sir.
Is there a way that if I'm going to England this year, maybe make my round trip ticket and with a departure date of, say, 6 or 8 weeks after I booked the trip, And if I want to come back earlier, I'll probably have to pay a penalty, won't I?
Correct. So that was what my suggestion was going to be. What you have to do is you have to look at the cost of a round-trip ticket with a change fee. Okay, so it might be $250. Some of them are $400 versus buying a one-way ticket there and buying a one-way ticket back.
Mm.
Okay, which is possible to do. Okay, it might even be cheaper. It might even be cheaper to buy two round trips and throw away one leg of it rather than pay the change fee.
Oh, okay.
But either way, you're looking at penalties. Is that correct?
You're looking at penalties or buying a one-way ticket, right? They don't allow people anymore. I know exactly what you're talking about. Now, there are fares that are called flex fares. They give you flexibility, mm-hmm. but there's so much more.
Interesting.
That I don't think it would be worth it. You'd be better off either buying two one-ways or paying a change fee and just changing your return.
I see. Thank you very much.
You're very welcome, Rick.
Over to Stephen in Glens Falls. Stephen, you're on.
Hey, thank you. I have a comment regarding a previous caller, and then I have a short question. The comment was regarding somebody who asked about midwinter, last minute, some free time came up, and they want to get away.
Yeah.
A few years back, we had the same thing, wanted to go someplace warm, didn't want all the craziness of college kids. And ended up looking at Bermuda, which over the February period often has a 50% off everything sort of fare to get more people there. Flights were inexpensive. They were short. It was not 80 degrees, but it was 65 degrees to 70. It was a great trip.
Yes, Stephen, we agree with that. Ray and I were just talking about Bermuda earlier.
At the start of the show, yeah.
Yeah, and we were saying what a great destination it was. However, if you want ocean swimming, like you mentioned already, Bermuda can't be the option because it won't be that hot. But, yeah, it's a great option.
Yeah, you can swim, but you'll freeze.
Right. Right.
So, the question I had was, what are the airlines' policies these days using hidden city flights? To make things cheaper.
No, you can't do it anymore. And the problem is there. What Ray's looking at me quizzically. What that was many, many years ago, you could possibly find a cheaper fare from Albany to, let's say Albany to L.A. was cheaper than Albany, Chicago.
Okay.
So people would buy a ticket that went Albany, Chicago, L.A., L.A., Chicago, Albany, but then they would get off in Chicago and then come back from Chicago.
Okay.
Okay, right?
Yeah.
That's what you're talking about, right? Hidden city fares.
That's right, but couldn't you just buy two one-ways using Hidden City and do the same thing?
You could try to do that as well. However, the airlines are so technologically advanced than they were when we used to be able to do that.
Why is it against the rules?
Because they will cancel your return flight if you do not board the flight that's on your ticket. What you have to remember, I've always had this argument with the airlines, because to me, if I buy a suit at Macy's, what do they care if I just wear the jacket or if I just wear the pants? Why do I have to wear the same thing together? I totally agree with you. However, the airlines say that when you buy an airline ticket and it says Albany, Chicago, Chicago, LA, LA, Chicago, Albany, it is a contract of passage. It actually says that somewhere.
That is
that
ridiculous,
you are purchasing a round-trip contract.
I agree, Ray.
I agree too. Believe me, I don't agree with them. I'm just explaining.
But what Stephen said was, why not get a one way using the hidden city, and then when you're ready to go, get another one way.
Well, they don't work that way anymore. They're not going to be cheaper because let me explain to you why. All right, so you're saying buy a one way ticket. So you buy a one way ticket from Albany, Chicago to L.A. You get off in Chicago. You're fine. Well, then you would have to buy a ticket from L.A., Chicago to Albany. You're not getting on in L.A. They're going to cancel.
Yeah, that's true.
They're going to cancel your returning flight, which you sort of can't blame them. I mean, why should they keep that seat open? They're expecting you to get on in L.A.
Because he paid
you
for
didn't
it.
Get on. They're not going to keep that seat open.
He paid for it.
Doesn't matter. They're not going to do it.
I pay for a seat. It's America.
You would think so. However, no.
All right, take the train, Stephen. Take the train, buddy.
All right. Thanks. See ya.
Thanks Bye-bye. For the call. Let's take a break, Zach the Engineer. 800-348-2551 is the number. 800-348-2551. Gene Gagnon is here of Plaza Travel in Latham. We'll be back with more of your calls coming up. One of the things I love about having Gene Gagnon here is during the break, she's looking at maps. It's what is going through that head of hers? Gene Gagnon is president of Plaza Travel in Latham, New York. Our number here is 800-348-2551. Three emails, Gene, and then we'll hit the home stretch on the phones. This one's from Bill in Delmar. A question about travel to Turkey. And Bill writes, when I turned 50 a few years back, my wife and I celebrated in Venice. Now it's her turn. She's always wanted to travel to Turkey on her big day, but we've heard it may not be safe for Americans to travel there. Are there reputable tour groups like Rick Steves that still go? What does your guest feel about traveling to Turkey? We'd like to go on my wife's birthday, April 22nd. That's pretty short notice, and that's from Bill in Delmar.
Okay, Bill, one of my favorite cities is Istanbul. So I have to say that I would highly recommend somebody travel to Turkey. It's like any place else. There are certain precautions you have to take, but I personally would not hesitate to go tomorrow.
How long has it been since you've been?
Oh, a couple of years, but I just had a very good friend come back
in
October. Absolutely loved it. I mean, there's so much to see there. I mean, it's Constantinople.
Sure.
You know,
Absolutely.
Mean, you can put one foot in Asia and one foot in Europe at the same time. I would highly recommend it and would say you really have to start booking it soon.
Right. He did not put this but in the email, but April 22nd is pretty soon.
Yes, but it's a little bit off season for Turkey because it could still be cool.
Yeah.
I mean, last time I was there was in March and it was snowing. Very lightly, but it was snowing.
Yeah.
So I think he could still do it. And yes, there are some very reputable tour companies that you could take to go there. What I would highly recommend is to not just do Istanbul, but to also possibly get down on the coast, see Ephesus, and maybe even Cappadocia.
Okay.
So you could definitely take a really nice tour.
This one is from Deirdre, Ireland in the fall. My husband and I are planning on going to Ireland this fall. We would like to go when there are fewer tourists, but the weather is still decent. What do you suggest? And that's from Deirdre.
Well, Deirdre, this is a problem with all of Europe. Years ago, high season was just, end of June, July, and August. But now, September and October has actually almost become a secondary high season. If you don't mind a little bit of a drizzle, go as late as you can in the fall, maybe late October. It'll be a little bit less crowded. But Ireland pretty much stays busy up until the end of October now.
All right.
So, and, of course, you can go in the winter, but you'll be bundled up and the weather will be even more drizzly and a little bit damp. But okay. It's still beautiful.
All right. This one's from Susan, and then we'll get back to the phone. Susan writes, traveling to Mexican town of San Miguel Allende next month. Can you tell me interesting sights to see, including out-of-the-way places, and how to avoid tourist traps, including restaurants and shopping? Are there open-air markets? I'm Googling for info as well, so that means Susan is putting you on the spot. She's going to check your work.
No, that's okay. I have not been to San Miguel. Someone in my office is actually going there in March, so I'm looking forward to getting a report on that.
Okay.
I know they have a beautiful cathedral. I know there are several open-air markets. I don't know anything about any of the surrounding areas,
okay,
to be quite honest, but I'll be really interested to hear the report on it because it is literally a beautiful, I've looked it up myself, it's the Spanish architecture. As far as restaurants, you know, it's funny because a lot of people will go into a hotel and they'll ask the concierge where they should eat.
Yeah.
Don't ask the concierge, ask the bellboy.
Ha!
If you want to go,
an old Jerry Lewis movie.
Well, the thing is, the concierge tends to think what we want. They tend to tell us where we think we want to eat.
Yeah.
Whereas if you say I want to go someplace local, someplace not a lot of tourists are, ask other people, not necessarily just the concierge.
Okay, and then Susan is going next month, so we'll have Susan report back
yes.
to both of us next time you're on the show. if she'll do that, of course. All right, back to the phones. We go to Steve in Scotia. Steve, you're on.
Hi. I am planning to go to Wales with my wife. We're planning a trip possibly for the fall or the spring, and it'll be the first time we're planning an international trip like this. And the question I have, there are two questions. First of all, one would be, what would be the better time of the year to go, fall or spring, to take a trip to Wales? And the second thing is, what would be the advantage or disadvantages of having somebody plan it for us versus planning for ourselves?
Okay. Well, first of all, for the very reason that you're asking, that's why you think you should have somebody help you plan the trip. What time of year should I go?
Yeah.
What should I see? Where should I stay? So that's the advantage of having somebody help you plan. Plus, you're going to have the advantage of their expertise, their experience, and not just their experience, the experience of every single other person they've sent there. Okay, so it's a wealth of information. That being said, fall or spring, if you go really early spring, then you're going to be hitting a little bit more damp weather. So if you were going to go in the spring, I would say May would be a good time. And the same thing on the tail end. September and early October would be very nice. I wouldn't go too much later into October, because Wales does get from the west coast in. They do get the winds and the rains coming in there. And especially you're going to want to see a lot of the coast. So the earlier that you can go in September and October, you're going to have your better weather. However, you're also going to have a little bit higher costs, because, like I said, September has almost become a secondary high season. I hope that helps.
Would spring be better from a cost perspective, or is there a difference?
Yeah, the biggest cost difference in spring is always whenever Easter is. Whenever Easter is, that's when high season starts.
Oh.
Okay, so this year Easter is later, so in May it's already going to be what we used to call the shoulder season. So cost-wise, it's not going to make that much difference. What you really want to try to do, if you want to avoid crowds and if you especially want to avoid the backpackers, is you want to go before colleges are out. So I would say the first couple of weeks of May would be the best time.
Okay.
All right, Steve. Good luck.
Hey, thanks.
Thank you.
I appreciate the call. And now we go to Beth and, oh, I'm sorry, Barb in Poughkeepsie. Barb, you're on.
Yes, hello?
Hello.
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 Yes.
Hi.
We are going to Bergen, Norway in June, and we're only going to have 3 full days. And I was wondering, I know we want to go out on the water, but any other recommendations?
Well, yeah, what I recommend, if you're going someplace for only 3 days, okay, I believe Bergen, I'm trying to remember, I think that's one of the cities that has a good hop-on, hop-off pass that we mentioned earlier when we were talking about Dublin. That would be great for your first day, because what you want to be able to do is get a sort of layout of the city. Okay. So when you first get there, relax that afternoon, maybe walk around your hotel. I don't know where you're staying, but and then the next day, and plan for it before you go there. But check out their hop-on, hop-off pass.
Yeah.
I believe Bergen has one. If not, if you can't find one of that, try to get a half-day city sightseeing tour in the morning. It'll give you just a brief synopsis of things to see. And then in the afternoon, plan to walk around, maybe go back to something that you saw briefly. Okay. On that second full day in the morning, if you think the weather's going to be good, that's when you should go out on the water, take a harbor tour. Okay, you'll really enjoy that. So I don't know if you're there 3 full days. If you have a chance,
3 full days, yeah.
Okay.
Overnight flight.
Okay.
On the first night, yeah.
Okay. Well, then what you might want to do is the first day in the morning, do the half-day city sightseeing, afternoon free. The second day, maybe do a full-day excursion out of town to one of the castles, okay? And then on that last morning, maybe just do the half-day harbor tour in the morning, so in the afternoon you can start getting ready and packing up and things like that.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, great.
Thanks,
have a wonderful time.
Gene Gagnon, have you ever flown in the first class?
Oh, yes, I have.
So, you see the ads, and there are literally beds.
Yes.
My question is, how the heck do you tether yourself down? What if there's turbulence and you're asleep?
There's a seatbelt.
You actually have to strap yourself in on a bed.
Some people don't, but yes, you can strap yourself in loosely.
Really?
Yes, yes.
Oh, very interesting.
And I've done it. I mean, I'm one of these people who always has my seatbelt on.
Yeah.
Because it's just safer. And, you know, I've been able to stretch out over two or three seats sometimes if the flight was empty. And I do still keep myself strapped in then.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's go back to the phones. And Wendy in Bern. Wendy, you're on.
Thank you. My husband and I are going to be going to Germany in the fall, in October, mm-hmm. and we're going to spend 2 weeks on our own traveling around and then end up with an 8-day Danube River cruise.
Oh, sounds beautiful.
Thank you. I hope so. In researching online, I found a whole lot of discount places for that cruise that offer free air as well as a discount price for the cruise itself. We have booked with Viking Cruise itself, mm-hmm. but in retrospect, I'm always second guessing myself and wondering how do those discount places work, and would it have been better to have done that?
I personally don't believe so. Okay. Viking is a real, real first-class operation. You're going to have a lovely, lovely time. You have to be very careful when you're using what we call a third-party provider. Okay, so that means you're not booking directly with the tour company. I've had people come back and had problems that they didn't have what they thought they were going to have. They weren't in the same cabin that they thought they were going to be in. It's not worth it. This is something that you're spending a lot of time and money doing, booking directly either through a reputable agent who is then booking directly with the tour company. It gives you somebody to talk to. You know, if you have a problem right now, you could call Viking. If you booked this through a third-party provider, you could be in trouble. So you did the right thing. Don't worry about that. It's booked. You're going to have a great time.
Thank you for the reassurance.
You're welcome, Wendy.
Thanks for the call, Wendy. And let's see, who has been on here for a while? Oh, it looks like Johanna in South Hadley. You're on. Oh, Joanna, I'm sorry.
Good. Yes, this is a quick question, I think. It occurred to me I could combine two trips I was planning on making, one to Salt Lake City from Bradley in Connecticut, and then I have to make another one in rapid succession down to Chattanooga, Tennessee. When I went online to American Airlines, which is where I book, it doesn't look like it's possible to, like, put in three segments in a row. I simply have to buy a one-way to Salt Lake City, and then I have to do another one-way to Chattanooga, another one-way back. Is that correct?
No, you can buy.
There's no way to create one trip?
Yes, you can create one trip. You definitely can create one trip. It's called a circle trip, and they don't make it easy for you to do it. But any professional agent that you could call could do that for you. It might be cheaper. It might not be cheaper. So you have to check it both ways.
Okay,
sometimes one-way fares, adding three one-way fares together does come out less, but sometimes doing a circle trip is better. And the other reason why it's sometimes better having it all on one ticket, if there's a problem, they're all interconnected. Okay. If you buy three one-way tickets and there's a problem, let's say with the middle leg,
right?
You know, they don't care that you're not showing up because your second flight had a problem. You know what I mean?
Right.
So you're better off buying
a
circle
thank you
ticket.
Very.
Yeah. Yeah.
Thank
you definitely.
Very much.
You're very
Thanks,
welcome.
Joanna,
thank you.
I appreciate the call. And now let's see over to line six and Johan in Albany.
Good afternoon. I have a question. Iceland Air flies from the U.S. to Europe, many locations,
mm-hmm.
and they allow passengers to get off in Iceland for 2-3 days for free, no additional charge.
That's correct.
Which brings a lot of tourism to Iceland and helps the local economy.
Mm-hmm.
Couldn't Delta help out some of their hub cities like Detroit by simply saying, hey, customers, you can stop for a day or two in Detroit and then continue on? It doesn't really cost them anything, and they could really help out their hub cities.
You know, Johan, that's a very, very good point. However, okay, if you're talking domestically, you're not going to get the same draw on something like that as you would internationally. Okay, so, you know, obviously if somebody's going to LA, how many people going to L.A. want to stop in Detroit for a day or two? I mean, Detroit is lovely, but, you know. But I have to tell you, it's a great point. It's a great point to bring up because Icelandair is not the only airline that offers that. Okay. For example, I had somebody who was flying into Russia, and they were actually able to get a free stopover. Now, when we say free, you know, they still had to pay hotel and things like that.
So it's not free.
No, it's not free. Okay. But as far as the airline ticket goes, it was a free stopover in Istanbul. There are some airlines that have free stopovers in Bangkok if you're going somewhere else. So you should always check if you have the time and you're flying somewhere, you should always check about the possibility of a free stopover in a city. And even sometimes it's not free, but it's worth it anyway. For example, you could be flying to Honolulu and it might only cost $50 more for your airfare to do a 3-night stopover in San Francisco. So you should always check about free or inexpensive stopovers.
Over to Ron in Albany. Ron.
Hey, good afternoon. A quick question. My daughter and I will be traveling to Paris, middle of April. She'll be doing the Paris Marathon. Not me. She didn't do it. Not me, but, in the past, when we've traveled to Europe, we've always managed to find like a walking day tour, just to kind of learn the city a little bit, kind of get our bearings, at least for the first day or two.
Yes.
And I've been checking City Wonders via tour. I'm not seeing anything that offers that kind of, you know, like walk around kind of thing.
They're definitely there. You have to put in walking tour. Make sure that you put in walking tour, because they are definitely out there. So I don't know that you haven't found it yet, but yeah, you can definitely do it. I'm trying. I can't really give you any websites off the top, but you already were checking Viator. So when you're in Viator, put in that you want a walking tour of Paris, and you really should be able to find one. Now, let me ask you something, Ron. How old is your daughter?
She's 25.
Oh, okay. Right. No problem there. Okay.
So no kiddie fare on that.
No, that wasn't my issue. A lot of people don't know if they're if one parent is traveling with a child out of the country.
I see.
They have to have if they're under 18.
Right.
They have to have a notarized letter from the non-traveling parent.
Okay. Well, we have about a couple of minutes here. Let's try to grab another call or two, and let's go over to Judy in Gilderland. Judy.
Yes, hi. I'm going to go to Germany this summer, and I want to take a side trip. I'm going to Cologne, and I've been to Amsterdam, Munich, Berlin, and Italy. What would be a good idea to go for like a 3-day trip outside of Germany?
All right, so you've been to Amsterdam, you've been to Munich, you've been to Berlin. Have you been to Brussels?
No, I haven't been to Brussels.
Brussels is a lovely city. They have fantastic food. They have some wonderful museums. And plus, they're only about another half hour to an even more beautiful city by the name of Bruges, B-R-U-G-G-E-S, an absolutely incredibly beautiful medieval city. So that would be my recommendation.
All right, Judy, thanks a lot. All right, well, Gene Gagnon of Plaza Travel Center. How do people find out about Plaza Travel Center?
Well, they can either call us at 518-785-3338. They can look at us online at www.plazatravel.net.
Plazatravel.net.
Yes, or we're on Facebook.
Very nice. You know, one of the great things about having you here is you don't have a device. You don't have a computer. You don't have a laptop. You look at maps and you go from the head. And that's fun. So great having you here.
Thank you.
And I hope you go someplace warm very soon.
I will.
Support comes from Albany Health Management, Patricia Dalton Fennell of AHMA, and Namita Sokdev, MD, University of Michigan Medical School Emeritus, conducting the Training Medical Residents in the Management of Chronic Illness Project, albanyhealthmanagement.com. The Franklin D. Roosevelt Presidential Library in Hyde Park, New York, with programs and immersive exhibits on the lives and times of the Roosevelts, open daily, fdrlibrary.org. And Vermont Coffee Company, organic coffee in the brown paper bag, available at local grocers, Vermont Coffee Company, coffee roasted for friends. Well, that's it for today. Thanks to Gene Gagnon of Plaza Travel. Thanks to Zach Malloy for handling the controls. Dina Salzman answered the phones. Our producer is Jim Lavoulis. I'm Ray Graff. Thank you for listening and for the great calls today.
Tomorrow, Food Friday favorites Deanna Fox and Rocco DeFazio will be here to join us with party favorites for the big game. Right now, stand by for news.